literally Hitler. Orange man bad. Orange man bad. Orange man bad.
Orange man bad. Orange man bad. Orange man bad.
Oh, you know what's bad?
You can scream and shout.
Oh, shit. I don't know if I have enough material for an entire podcast. Hold on, I might have to go get some more shit. Fuck, yeah, I'm just gonna pause this. I'll be back in a second.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Go fuck yourself. Alright, yeah, got some more stuff here. Yes! Stretch. Greetings, friends and enemies. It is I, the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. This is stating the obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the truth, missing my intellect, homes, and I destroy secret states all around the world. And if you want to send me an email, tell me how awesome I am, you can do that. You can send that to God, dog spelled backwards. God, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Also send me pictures of your girlfriend naked if she's hot, or if you're a hot chick. There are no hot chicks listening to this podcast. But if there is a hot chick listening to this podcast, you can send me naked pictures of yourself also. Before we get into something else my mother finds disgusting, let's talk about this right here. Headline. Brain-eating amoeba kills Seattle woman. When a 69-year-old Seattle woman underwent brain surgery earlier this year at Swedish Medical Center, her doctors were stumped. Last January, the woman was admitted to the hospital's emergency department after suffering a seizure. Doctors took a CT scan of her brain to determine the cause, finding what they initially thought was a tumor. But an examination of tissue taken from her brain during surgery a day later showed she was up against a much deadlier attack, one that had been underway for a year and was literally Hitler, literally eating her alive, like Hitler. Quote, "When I operated on this lady, a section of her brain about the size of a golf ball was a bloody mush," unquote, Dr. Charles Cobbs, a neurosurgeon at Swedish, said in a phone interview. Quote, "There were these amoeba all over the place, just eating brain cells. We didn't have any clue what was going on, but when we got the actual tissue, we could see it was the amoeba," unquote. The woman died a month later from the rare organisms that entered her brain after being injected into her nasal cavity by way of a neti pot, a teapot-shaped product used to rinse out the sinuses and nasal cavity. Now, this is fake news because we all know that if a brain-eating amoeba got inside a woman's body, it would starve to death. Yes, we all knew where that joke was going. No surprises there. Okay. I've only glanced at this. I haven't read the whole thing over, so we'll see how this goes. I do. I love the live reactions. My mother has scribbled across the top of this article, "Disgusting," because everything disgusts her, except of course for Muslims cutting the clitorises off of little girls and having sex with 11-year-old girls. That of course is diverse, tolerant, multicultural. All right, anyhow, disgusting. What is more Texan than pit barbecue, blue bonnets, Friday night lights, Whataburger, and Willie? Now, this is also very clearly an op-ed piece, which is not anywhere labeled as an op-ed piece. So far, we don't have any information here. If you're a Texan who likes to wrap yourself in the Lone Star flag, wrap your head around this. More ubiquitous than any Texas-shaped tattoo, tortilla chip, or waffle is something far less deserving of our Texas pride. Kids without health insurance. But the children! Okay, first of all, Obamacare passed. Everybody has free health care now because Obamacare passed. It's Obamacare. Well, everybody has health insurance. You have to. The law says so. It's the law. It's the law. Texas, again, has the largest share of uninsured kids in the nation, accounting for 1 in every 5 in the United States, according to a report from the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. And I'm sure the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families has no political agenda whatsoever. Sure, they're completely unbiased. Texas's uninsured rate among kids was 10.7% in 2017, more than double the national average of 5%. I wonder if all the illegal immigrants have anything to do with that. An estimated 835,000 Texas children went without health insurance, an increase of about 80,000 from the year before. Okay, but, I mean, are they dying? And why do they not have health insurance? Why are their parents not buying health insurance? Obamacare forces you to buy health insurance. Why don't they have health insurance? Obamacare was going to solve the problems. Obamacare passed. So what you're saying here is Obamacare doesn't work. Obamacare hasn't solved the problems. No Texan can be proud of this. I'm a Texan. I don't give a shit. I mean, why would you be proud of this? One way or the other, there's not something to be proud of. Yet, the emotions. Yet, after 20 years of ranking at or near the bottom of insured kids, nobody in power seems to care enough to address it. Gosh, I wonder who should be responsible for providing health care for children. I mean, okay, it couldn't be the parents, right? This couldn't be something the parents are supposed to do. No, see, this is something the government is supposed to do by taking money away from other people and giving it to the people who had children they can't afford and can't provide health insurance for. I suspect in this op-ed piece, at no point will the blame for these children not having health. And remember guys, not having health insurance is not the same as being unhealthy. Not having health insurance is not the same as not getting medical care, okay? Like, if your father, because there shouldn't be any women doctors, if your father is a doctor, owns his own clinic, and has a good relationship with a hospital, you don't really need health insurance. It's like, oh, Dad, I don't feel good. I should go to a doctor. Dad says, good, bring your ass over here. Open your mouth and say, ah. Okay? Not having health insurance doesn't mean you're not healthy, and it doesn't mean you don't have access to medical care. Those don't directly fucking correlate. Is that the right word? There's a word for that. You know what I mean because you're smart. That's why you listen to this podcast. Nobody seems to care enough. Nobody in power seems to care enough to address it. Okay, the people who have the ultimate power over children are the parents. So again, this whole thing that where parents are not responsible for raising their children, this shit needs to come to an end. This shit where you take money away from me to finance the school for your filthy little spawn to go to, and where you take money away from me to finance healthcare for your filthy little spawn. No. If you can't afford to pay for school for your children, don't have children. Because you do not have a right to breed. You don't. Neither Governor Greg Abbott nor Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, regardless of their touted pro-life credentials. Okay, but see, once again, there's a difference between being against abortion. Just because you are against abortion because you think it's murder, that does not necessitate an obligation in you to say, okay, the one doesn't follow the other. If you come forward and you say, I believe abortion is murder, it does not necessarily follow from that that you must then also believe I should take money away from people who don't have children and use it to subsidize health insurance for people who do have children. Right? Those two things don't necessarily go to, you don't have to arrive at B because of A. Thinking abortion is murder has nothing to do with providing health insurance for children at taxpayer expense. Nor lawmakers who lead health committees in the Texas legislature. So wait, you're saying politicians don't care about children? Huh, really? God, I'm shocked. And yet, who wrote this? Once again, here's another fucking article in a newspaper and it doesn't say who wrote it. I'm assuming, because I don't have the entire page, I'm assuming this is the op-ed page. And I'm going to assume that this is one of those community op-ed pieces that's written by the entire op-ed staff, board, whatever they're called, of the newspaper. Newspapers. I mean, I'm old and even I consider newspapers irrelevant, which just makes this all the more funnier. I mean, this is like a bunch of snowflakes shouting into a fucking storm. For all the lip service Abbott gives to pre-K, for all the passion with which Patrick fights for private school vouchers, for all the talk among lawmakers about improving Texas schools, they seem to miss one thing. It doesn't matter how much we invest in public education if we don't invest in public health. See, so if we're going to steal money from taxpayers to fund schools, well, obviously we have to steal money from taxpayers to fund health insurance for the children as well. That's leftist thinking. Whereas, of course, anarchist thinking is, how about we get rid of both? How about we stop stealing money from the taxpayers? How about there are no public schools? So if we get rid of the public schools, we can get rid of the health insurance thing as well? Kids need to stay healthy to attend school. And obviously the parents have nothing to do with their children being healthy, right? Can't involve, and still, notice, we're a third of the way through this piece. No mention yet of the parents. Let's see, because I have not read this. Let's see if there's any mention of the parents. I'm willing to bet parents are never mentioned. They need eyeglasses to see the chalkboard. Well, that would be the parents' responsibility. They need immunizations to protect us all from diseases. That would be the parents' responsibility. Kids with asthma need access to preventative care. No, kids with asthma shouldn't be alive because their parents have defective DNA and shouldn't be breeding. Kids with cancer need a fighting chance at survival. You know, cancer is like Jews or Holocaust, right? You just drag that in and you get sympathy. It doesn't work on me. The kid has cancer. Is it terminal? Just euthanize them. How old is the kid? What, the kid's been alive for 11, 12 years? Who's going to miss him? Texas was late to embrace the Children's Health Insurance Program approved by Congress in 1997, and we've lagged ever since. Now the problem has gotten worse, exacerbated in part by federal policies that have brought progress in other states to a halt, and in some states, backward. Yes, because there's federal policies that if you go out and you try to buy health insurance for your child, the federal government comes in your house at night and beats you up and steals it from you. Right? It's just like the way us white men hold black people down. Like anytime black people go out and they like get some money or something, we sneak in their house at night and we steal it. Wait, how can federal policies be holding you down? You just had 8 years of Obama. For the first time in nearly a decade, the number of uninsured... So that means that a decade ago, not because nearly a decade, but a decade ago, there were actually more uninsured children. See, once again, you got to read between the lines when you hear statistics, especially in an op-ed piece. For the first time in nearly a decade, the number of uninsured children in the United States increased, according to the Georgetown Report, which is completely unbiased. For the first time in nearly a decade, the number of uninsured children increased, which means that a decade ago, the number of uninsured children increased. That's why they said that for the first time in nearly a decade. So we have to ask ourselves, what happened a decade ago that made the number of uninsured children increase? And I want to know, does this number of uninsured children include children of illegal immigrants? Is that accounted for? I don't know. I'm asking the fucking question. I could go try to find this report from the completely unbiased Georgetown University Center for Children and Families, but I have shit to do. I'm going to go out later, have a beer with my friends, make fun of my friend who thinks that the burqa was invented in 1953 because someone told him that and he didn't have enough sense to Google it, and I'm going to go have another beer at another place with another friend. So I don't have time to look up reports written by fucktards with political agendas. The great one, don't you have an agenda? Yes, I have an agenda. The difference between me and the fucktards is that I'm completely open about my agenda. We'd expect the opposite in a time of economic strength. Whoa, hold on. I thought the Trumpenfuhrer was destroying the economy. I thought we were all going to die. I thought the stock market was going to crash. China was going to take over. The Russians were going to invade us. People were going to lose their jobs. There'd be starvation. Now, here, under the presidential leadership of the Trumpenfuhrer, you're telling me that this is a, quote, time of economic strength, unquote. Oh, this is fascinating. This is fascinating to me. We'd expect the opposite in a time of economic strength when more children are covered by employer-sponsored insurance. Well, wait, if more children are covered by employer-sponsored insurance, how can there be more children than ever uninsured? There's more children, we don't say more than what, more children are covered by employer-sponsored insurance, but there's more children without insurance. But some working families can't afford that option. Oh, huh. Some working families can't afford that option. They can't... Wait, hold on. I think I might be on the verge of a revelation. Give me a second. I got to go slow. This is some really fucking turbulent waters here. There's some families who cannot afford health insurance for their children. So you're saying they can't afford kids? Suddenly the problem becomes clear. If you can't afford children, why are you making babies? Have you heard of abortion? Many kids rely on government programs, which are increasingly at risk, and those government programs are also theft. I'm being distracted. Sorry, my phone went off. Could be important. All right. States such as Texas, where leaders like Abbott refuse to expand Medicaid and have actively worked to thwart the Affordable Health Care Act, have fared the worst. Still no mention of the parents, other than to say the parents can't afford health insurance. A new threat comes directly from President Trump. Enrollment in government programs is dropping among immigrants. Enrollment in government programs, otherwise known as theft from taxpayers, is dropping among immigrants, including those legally here, which they had to throw that in because it's dropping mostly among illegal immigrants. That's why they had to add in the disclaimer of including those legally here. As xenophobic rhetoric intensifies, we have a story on xenophobia. Parents whose children are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP fear enrolling them will endanger the family status. Yes, because you're here illegally. So see right here, parents, illegal immigrants whose children are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP. Why are the children of illegal immigrants eligible for Medicaid or CHIP? There's your first problem. Illegal immigrants whose children are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP fear enrolling them will endanger the family status, as it should. You're an illegal immigrant. You should be sent back to the country you came from. One reason is the Trump administration's so-called, it's a so-called, quote, public charge rule, unquote, which threatens to deny green cards to those who have applied for certain types of government assistance. Good. The troubling rise in uninsured children isn't expected to let up soon. Quote, kids are the canaries in the coal mine because we always have an easier time getting them insured, unquote, said Elena Marks, president and CEO of Episcopal Health Foundation. Quote, when you see their numbers dropping, that's really bad news for all of us, unquote. Okay, but once again, now that we've admitted that these numbers of uninsured children that we're whining about here, we've admitted that these uninsured children include the children of illegal immigrants. So let us remove the children of the illegal immigrants and let's see what happens then. It doesn't have to be. It should be a clarion call for conscientious lawmakers who say they care about Texas and the future of Texas to act. Yes, you see, if you're conscientious and if you care about Texas, you should be wanting to provide health insurance at taxpayer expense for the children of illegal immigrants. If you are not willing to provide taxpayer-funded health insurance for the children of illegal immigrants, you are not conscientious and you do not care about Texas. Depriving children of access to doctors. Okay, just because you don't have health insurance doesn't mean you don't have access to a doctor. You can go to a doctor without health insurance. Depriving children of access to doctors is as senseless as it is immoral. Now, however, what is moral is stealing money from people who don't have children and using it to fund people who do have children they can't afford. See, that's totally moral. That's completely okay. Kids are cheaper to insure because they tend to be healthy. Most Texas Medicaid recipients are children, and although lawmakers complain about the cost of the program, the state pays less than half. No. The taxpayers pay less than half through state taxes, and then taxpayers pay the other half, the more than half, through federal taxes. Okay, the state is not paying a fucking thing. Taxpayers are paying these things. The biggest barrier that stands in the way of kids and coverage isn't the politicians. The biggest barrier that stands... I'm covering up the rest of this paragraph with my hand. The biggest barrier that stands in the way of kids and coverage isn't politicians. I wonder if they're going to point out it's the fact that these children are the children of illegal immigrants. Because that would be the biggest barrier standing in the way of these children getting health insurance. That's the biggest barrier. I know this is hurting your feelings. I don't care. It's the average Texans who seem oblivious to the problem. No. This is not the fault of average Texans. Okay. If Julio and Juan or who the fuck ever who came here illegally with the child don't get health insurance for the child, that's not the fault of average Texans. That's the fault of Julio and Juan. It's a great one. Julio and Juan. Yeah, there is a fucking gay couple. See, it's the fault of you average Texans. It's the fault of you white people who don't want to pay enough taxes to provide health insurance for the children of illegal immigrants. A statewide survey released jointly in June by the Episcopal Health and Kaiser Family Foundations, completely unbiased. I mean, two giant organizations whose jobs is selling health insurance. Couldn't possibly be any bias here. Showed that only 3 in 10 respondents knew about Texas's high uninsured rate. Right, because it's not their fucking problem. Other people's children not having health insurance isn't your fucking problem. It's the problem of the parents. If you don't know it, Marx said, then you can't be ashamed of it. There's no reason for other people to be ashamed of someone else's children not having health insurance. Well, fellow Texan, now you know. Spread the word if your pride is true. See, once again, if you're not willing to run around and constantly talk about how the hell these children don't have health insurance, you don't have pride in Texas. Spur your representatives to act. Carry the banner for our Texas children as high as you do our beloved Lone Star. Our Texas children. No. They are children, as you have admitted, of illegal immigrants. They are not our Texas children. All right, speaking of xenophobia, let's go ahead and do this one. You guys stop me when you get the point. My mother wrote across the top of this one, "Stupid little shit got what he deserved." Okay. New Delhi. Police said they have mapped the area by... That's not what they said. That was me fucking up. Police said they have mapped the area of a remote Indian island where tribes people were seen burying the body of an American adventurer and Christian missionary after allegedly killing him with arrows this month. Did they allegedly kill him or did they allegedly kill him with arrows? But before they can even attempt to recover the body of 26-year-old John Alden Chow, authorities have to learn from experts the nuances of the group's conduct and behavior, particularly in this kind of violent behavior. Quote, we have more or less identified the site and the area in general, Palthik said by phone on Saturday, blah, blah, blah. Indian authorities have been struggling to figure out how to get the remains of Chu, who was killed by North Sentinel Islanders who apparently shot him with arrows and then buried his body on the beach. Friday's visit was the second boat expedition of the week by a team of police and officials from the Forest Department, Tribal Warfare Department, Tribal Welfare Department, and Coast Guard. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus fucking Christ. Hold on, I get to the point. Indian ships monitor the waters around the island, trying to ensure outsiders do not go near the Sentinelese, who have repeatedly made clear they want to be left alone. So there's these people on this island, and they want to be left alone. They don't want people from outside their island coming to their island. Chow went to, quote, share the love of Jesus, unquote, said Mary Ho, international executive leader of All Nations. All Nations, a Kansas City-based organization, helped train Chow, discussing the risk with him and sent him on the mission to support him in his life's calling. Quote, he wanted to have a long-term relationship and, if possible, be accepted by them and live amongst them, unquote, she said. So here's this man wanting to go to a country where he wasn't born and integrate in with the people who live there, be accepted by them, live amongst them, and have a long-term relationship with them. And yet they didn't want this person, this foreigner, this illegal immigrant coming into their country, into their territory, into their society. And so they killed him. Now, see, notice my mother says that he is a stupid little shit who got what he deserved. When he tries to go to a country, the country doesn't want him there. They kill him and he gets what he deserved. Now, United States, we have people trying to come here. We don't want them to come here. All we want to do is build a wall. I mean, I want to kill them. But all the Trumpenfuhrer wants to do is build a wall. Well, the Trumpenfuhrer is racist, sexist, homophobic, and xenophobic. Right, again, the common factor is that Chow, despite his name, was a white man. Oh, wait a minute, I'm wrong. I'm looking at this picture. There's two. I assumed. John Allen Chow, he's on the right. He is not a white man. He looks, I don't know, like, what's the word? Fuck. Like a Pacific Islander. Damn, I can't play the fucking racist against white people card. Oh my God, my argument has to stand on its intellectual merit. I can't invoke fucking skin color. Gosh, this is tragic. The people on this island don't want immigration. You try to immigrate there illegally without their permission, they kill you. When a young boy tried to hit him with an arrow on his first day on the island, Chow swam back to the fishing boat he had arranged to wait for him offshore. The arrow, he wrote, hit a Bible he was carrying. Quote, why did a little kid have to shoot me today, unquote, he wrote in his notes, which he left with the fisherman before swimming back the next morning. I mean, it's great. On this island, like the little kids, even the little kids are like, yeah, foreigner, get the fuck out. Shoot an arrow at him. I mean, that's great. Police say Chow knew that the Sentinelese, I'm totally mispronouncing that, I know, resisted all contact by outsiders, firing arrows and spears at passing helicopters and killing fishermen who drift onto their shore. Chow paid fishermen to take him near the North Sentinelese. using a kayak to paddle to shore and bring in gifts, including a football and fish. Five fishermen, a friend of Chow's, and a local tourist guide have been arrested for helping Chow. So they arrested five, six, seven people for helping a man try to illegally immigrate to another country. But here in the United States, if you arrest the actual illegal immigrant, well, you're a terrible person. Where am I on time? All right, I got plenty of time. Southwest apologizes after agent allegedly mocked name of girl. Five. A Texas mother is calling out a Southwestern Airlines employee who said she mocked her five-year-old daughter's name and posted a picture of the child's boarding pass on social media. Yes, because women attention whore on social media. Tracy Redford told ABC affiliate KABC her daughter's name is ABCD, pronounced ABCD. Okay, look. If you name your child ABCDE, yes, you need to expect that the child is going to be made fun of. How do you not know this? The incident occurred several weeks ago when she and her daughter were preparing to board a flight from Santa Ana, California to El Paso, Redford told the station. A gate agent, John Waite Airport, saw ABCD's name and started pointing, laughing, and talking to other employees about Redford and her child. So I turned and just said, hey, I can hear you, and if I can hear you, my daughter can hear you. I'd appreciate it if you didn't stop. Appreciate it if you just stop. Redford told blah, blah, blah. While I was sitting there, she took a picture of my boarding pass and chose to post it on social media, mocking my daughter. Yes, because women care so much about children. Women are compassionate. Women have such fantastic social skills. And women need to attention whore on the internet. After 2 weeks of doing a formal complaint, Southwest hasn't done anything. Southwest Airlines since apologized, saying the social media post is not indicative of the care, respect, and civility it requires of employees. We have followed up with the employee involved, and while we do not disclose personal actions publicly, we are using this as an opportunity to reinforce our policies and emphasize our expectation for all employees. Oh my goodness. All right, what do we got here? Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I love each other very much. Okay, so when you start with that, you already know something's going to go wrong. Recently, he found an email I had written when we first got together in reply to a message I had received about becoming an escort. I didn't follow through with it, and I have never cheated. Of course you haven't. I was broke at the time, and he had just been sent back to prison. I didn't know what to do. How can I earn his trust and keep our relationship from becoming toxic? Well, you're dating a guy who got sent back to prison. Oh, girls, 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 girls. All right, dear Abby, my mother-in-law does something that makes me uneasy. She uses an app to track my husband. She pressured him into installing it right before our wedding and has tracked him ever since. Okay, boys, there's a time in your life you have to cut the umbilical cord. She'll often text or call him to ask why he's going to the store or what he was doing when he was late to work, etc. Once he tried to remove the app, but she quickly noticed and confronted him. Abby, I have never seen her so angry. My husband caved and reinstalled it. Now, sweetheart, you don't have a husband. You have a child. Okay, You did not marry a man. Now, here's the question. I wonder if your husband, he has a mother, obviously. I wonder if he has a father. I wonder if he's the product of a single mother. Because if my mother came to me and said, you're going to install an app on your phone so I can track where you go. I mean, there don't need to be fireworks. It's just a simple no. That would be a no. Part of me feels that if he wants to let his mother track him, that's his business. But another part of me feels this is an invasion of my privacy as well, since we are together much of the time. She's together with her husband much of the time. And see, here's the thing. She doesn't give a shit about him. She's only worried about this because it's an invasion of her privacy. She doesn't care that her husband is such a fucking beta male faggot that his mother tracks his movement via his cell phone. She couldn't care less about that. So I'm gonna conclude that the man has a significant amount of money that she has access to, because clearly she doesn't care about him. And clearly she didn't marry him because he's a man. She's only concerned because it's invading her privacy, you know, on those occasions when they happen to be together. It also worries me that he's so quick to cave in to his mother's demands. Well, but he's a pussy. That's probably why you married him. Or why he was willing to marry you. I have no idea how old you are and what you look like. You're probably overweight. Am I wrong to be upset about this? What can I do to get my mother-in-law to give us some privacy? It's called telling her to kiss your ass. If you were a strong, independent, fish bicycle riding woman, you wouldn't need to ask Dear Abby how to handle this. Shepherd, finally to be laid to rest. Oh my God, finally. Finally. Actually not. This will go on forever. When Matthew Shepherd died on a cold night 20 years ago after being beaten with a pistol butt and tied to a split rail wood fence, his parents cremated rather than buried the 21-year-old for fear of drawing attention to the resting place of a person who had become a global icon for combating anti-gay hate. And also, it allowed them to milk the fuck out of this for 20 years, right? Their son being murdered was the best thing that ever happened to them because they've made a shit ton of money on this and gotten a whole lot of attention. With the anniversary Friday of their son's murder, the Shepherds have decided to do just that, interring his remains inside the crypt of a prominent Washington National Cathedral, where gay equality activists say they can be a prominent symbol and even... Yes, they, the ashes. Where gay equality activists say they, the ashes, can be a prominent symbol and even... a pilgrimage destination for the movement. Okay, look, it's one thing to say, yeah, it sucks that he was killed because he was a homosexual. And it's one thing to say, yeah, we're going to take his ashes, we're going to put him in this fucking National Cathedral in Washington, even though he's not from Washington, never been to Washington. That's obviously a political move. But his ashes are going to become a pilgrimage destination. Pilgrimage. Don't tell me this isn't a religion. The 1998 killing of Shepherd, a slight University of Wyoming student by two, a slight University of Wyoming, a slight student? What's a slight student? By two young men in a remote area east of Laramie, Wyoming, was so horrific that his name is on the federal law against bias crimes directed at LGBT people. On October 26, his ashes will be placed in a niche in the crypt, a private off-limits area on the lower level of the massive Gothic cathedral, which is the seat of the Episcopal Church in the popular spot for high-profile national spiritual events. Whew. It's an off-limits area, but it's going to be a pilgrimage destination. Shepherd, who had been active in the Episcopal Church, will be one of around 200 people interned at the cathedral in the last century. And who cares? So in other words, we milked that for all we could milk it for. Now we're going to put his ashes in a cathedral so we can milk it for some more. Okay. Speaking of loving parents, because we know, you and I, we know how much women's care about the children's, right? No one cares more about the children's than the women's do. Okay. Woman given 28 years for starving stepson. A woman convicted of starving her diaper-clad stepson and forcing him to sleep in a closet at her spring home has been sentenced to 28 years in prison, according to officials. Jury last week found Tammy Blindmeyer guilty of causing injury to a child in the harrowing case that prompted a guilty plea from the boy's biological father, who may have been a biological father, but he wasn't a real father, Bradley Blindmeyer. In 2016, he was handed a 15-year prison sentence on the same charge. He actually should have gotten more years in prison because as a man, he actually has self-awareness and consciousness and he is an agent, not an object, right? When a woman abuses a child, it's really not that big of a deal because there's nothing more important to a woman than her own self-preservation, followed closely by getting attention from other people. So I can understand women don't have any sense of right and wrong. They don't understand morality. They don't understand that torturing children is a wrong thing to do. A woman's brain is not biologically capable of processing that information. A man is. And this reminds me of, this was a while back, I did, it was on the Facebook, right? I auto-posted the Facebook and the one post went up there and it talked about women and shit. Anyway, everyone got pissed off and some stupid broad left a thing in the comments over on Facebook where she said that women would rather die than see their children harmed. Now, of course, we got to remember this is the woman's stepson. So we got to factor that in, actually. Although I've said before that there's women all over the United States whose biological children are being abused mentally, physically, sexually by stepfathers and boyfriends. And the women know this, but these women are not dying to protect their children. So that's like the biggest type of lie that women ever tell you when they say a woman would die rather than see her children harmed. Oh, bullshit. Okay, if a woman would die rather than see her children harmed, why are there all these women who have children who are being abused and the women are still alive? Why aren't these women dead? That doesn't actually apply here, unfortunately, because this is not the biological child of the mother. Woman. Shouldn't call her a mother because she's obviously not a mother. After 10 days of testimony, Harris County District Attorney's Office spokesman Dane Schiller announced late Monday that the jury settled on sending Blindmeyer to prison for nearly 3 decades. Why can't they just say he's sending Blindmeyer to prison for 28 years? See, nearly 3 decades. That's an emotional phrase. Just say they sent her to prison, she was sentenced to 28 years, which is a fact. This is why journalism is irrelevant. The trial revealed the disturbing conditions the boy was forced to endure in the cramped crawl space littered with exposed nails and wiring under the stairs. I mean, I'm sorry, I thought all boys were supposed to be shoved under the stairs in the filth and ignored because they're all rapists. I mean, didn't you see the Gillette commercial? He was nearly... Prosecutors likened the closet to the cupboard under the stairs Harry Potter lived in for the fantasy series. So we're in a courtroom talking about Harry Potter. This is the intellectual level of what goes on in the justice system here in the United States. We're talking about Harry Potter books. because everything has to be dumbed down because there are probably some women involved. Quote, he was nearly starved to death. Doctors compared his state of malnourishment to that of a Holocaust survivor. Of course they did, because comparing things to Holocaust is a good way to get emotional attention and sympathy. The case against the couple started in March 2014 with a tip from the child's older brother. The 16-year-old sibling told Harris County Precinct 4 Constable's Office deputies, good God, that the couple was abusing the 5-year-old boy at their home. He's 5 years old and wearing diapers. During a welfare check, deputies found the small room with a mattress under the stairs. And this, so 16-year-old brother knew that his 5-year-old brother was being abused like this. How long did he let this go on before he said something to somebody? And again, he has no fucking parenting. Tammy Blainmeyer had already fled with the child when deputies went inside the home. He was rescued soon after when the deputies tracked her to a motel in Humble. The boy was covered in cuts and bruises and weighed only 29 pounds. 29 pounds. A 5-year-old kid that weighs 29 pounds. He was rushed to a hospital. Pediatrician examined, determined severe physical abuse and habitual starvation. Had he not been treated, the doctor said the boy could have died within days. Really? No way. The boy was living on slices of bread that were taken from him if he couldn't eat them fast enough, according to prosecutors. I wonder if he had health insurance. I mean, is this one of the kids that these Georgetown people counted when they're going around going, let's see how many children don't have health insurance? Some people just shouldn't be having children. Oh no, 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 no. We gotta fund the inferior people reproducing, don't we? We just gotta fund that.